Right now, excited to get to the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to the DMV. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Joined now by Jake DeLome, Pro Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl quarterback, and a raging Cajun.
That's the reason we have him on here. He's a raging Cajun.
How you doing, Jake?
What up, Jake?
I'm doing great. What's up, B. Mitch? No, I'm doing great. I am a raging Cajun, and I'm like Brian. I am a USL raging Cajun.
There you go,
times
baby.
Times have changed. Now it's University of Louisiana, but we go back to the USL days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what does it say about B. Mitch that all of his former teams are trying to change their names? Do you think it's like they're trying to differentiate from the B. Mitch era?
No, they don't. He's the greatest player to ever wear a Raging Cajun uniform, and people still genuflect whenever they see highlights of Brian Mitchell. That's for certain. He carried that football team for years.
Well, Jake, obviously you had your most success in the NFL with the Panthers. You guys went to the Super Bowl against – I mean, that Super Bowl you played against New England was an all-timer. They came out on the other side. But I'm guessing the Panthers organization means a lot to you. Was yesterday kind of a tough one?
It was, man. The organization means a great deal to me. I started doing the radio in 2019, and myself and Luke Kuechly, we kind of tag team it, and it means a lot. And I got to tell people, I bleed Carolina blue, and it's we've been doing a lot of bleeding the last few years. I'll be quite honest, it's been tough, and kind of going into this season. Anticipation. I know for myself, if I'm going to look, I was being unbelievably realistic. I said, I think we can get 5 or 6 wins, you know, hopefully 7. We weren't there yet. We had some good pieces. Did I think it would be this difficult, especially defensively? No, because I didn't think we'd lose as many players that we have. And that's not making excuses. That's the reality of it. And when we line up on Sundays, to be very honest, we're so depleted in our front 7 that it's almost like a make-it-take-it situation with us offensively. Like, we've got to score. And that's kind of – and yesterday, nice opening drive, really nice mix of running pass to go down the field, and then the unfortunate interception on the screen that they took it the other way, and it just – it didn't go well from that point on. And that's the reality of the situation. Nobody's come and save us. And that's what we're going to deal with the rest of the year until we maybe get a body or two back on defense. It's a tough situation right now.
Jake, we dealt with a lot of losing around here, too. But what went wrong with Bryce Young?
You know, Brian, this is just my take on it. I watched him play all 16 games last year. Well, 16 games. I'm sorry. One game he did not start due to an ankle. And I saw a kid get sacked 62 times. But I saw a kid that stayed in the pocket. And he tried. He stayed. He took hits. He got out of 20-plus sacks easily. We had 15 different combinations of guards that played last year. Just it was one thing after another. Adam Thielen was our number one wide receiver, and I don't think anyone anticipated him catching over 100 passes last year. It was just one of those. And so they made an effort in the offseason. We signed a couple of guards to a lot of money. We drafted some receivers. We brought another receiver in, and looking forward to what we could do offensively to give him a chance. And I'm going to be quite honest, the first game of the season in New Orleans, it went poor, almost as poor as yesterday. Not quite as poor as what we saw yesterday, but it was just that way. And the first play of the game, he was coming out on a pass, and this is all my opinion, and he kind of tripped over the guard, and he rushed the throw, and it airmailed on him, and it was a pick. And it was like, I don't know if here we go again set in or whatnot, but there was it didn't seem normal for the rest of that game and the next game. And the reason I say that, I saw him miss some passes that I watched with my own eyes in person make last year. He's unbelievably accurate, and his anticipation is really good. Is he slight of frame? 100%. Yes, he is. But especially when he gets out to the pocket, moving right or left, the kid is deadly, deadly accurate. And I saw him airmail a couple, which I didn't see that last year. And then I saw his body language get affected, especially week 2 against the Chargers. That wasn't him. And to me, it was just someone that, okay, he needs a reset. He needs to sit for a second. To me, that's what I saw. I had that at one point in my career where you do all this work, you stay extra, you do extra, and you're just overthinking. The whole paralysis from analysis type of situation. And I just didn't see him just letting it go. And it was almost like every throw was just difficult. And there was a couple of just even swing passes to the side, right and left, that they went in the ground. It was just one of those. And so I think they did right. They sat him down, and Andy came in. We had a big game beating the Raiders. And offensively, we've done some decent things the last, you know, four or five games, to be quite honest. And yesterday, I don't think anything was good anyway you look at it. But that's just been the situation we're in. And, yes, I understand that where the situation might lead. I'm not sure where we end up. And the calling, okay, let's at least put Bryce back in. Let's see if we can just find out anything about him to see if we need to go what direction next year. Because with all intents and purposes, we'll be drafting extremely high next year. So we'll see where it goes. I haven't heard the presser yet from Coach Canales yet on Monday after they review the film from yesterday. But certainly it wasn't good. But offensively, we just didn't give ourselves a chance yesterday. And we've done that the last two games against Atlanta. We had opportunities late in the fourth quarter to go on a game tie and drive against Cincinnati the week prior. So there has been signs. Just yesterday, just wasn't that day.
Were you, Jake, were you surprised how dominant the Washington defense was for like you mentioned, you know, Carolina's been moving the ball pretty well since Dalton came in.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I definitely was. I thought Chicago, we struggled the most. I think that's a sneaky good football team, to be very honest. Watching that team, especially in the flesh, seeing them in person, that is a big, large, fast football team. I was shocked just seeing them in person. And they gave us fits. But, yeah, I was surprised yesterday. I thought with Jonathan Allen being down defensively for you guys that we could have ran the ball a little more effectively and really and truly keep Jaden Daniels on the sideline. I mean, that's the game plan in essence. You got to keep him off the field. He's so dangerous. And it looked that way the first drive. Hey, we're moving it. We're throwing it. We're running it. We're using different personnel. We're getting different people involved. And then the screen pass returned. And then just nothing going. And then we had the other interception where 13 was able to jump the dig route for Washington. And it just went downhill from there. And just nothing seemed – it was one of those games, and I hate to say it, that happens in the NFL, but there's always some – I don't want to say always, but teams that struggle, it seems like there's always a game where it's just, okay, you got to flush that one quick and you got to get ready to go because it doesn't get any easier. You know, we got to go to Denver, and that's a team that I was actually watching some film on them last night, and this is no disrespect to them. I don't know a lot of their players because it's like a new kind of regime, certainly with Sean, but, man, they play hard, and they're talented right now. Yeah, we all know Surtain and a couple of other players on the team, but other than that, it's just nobody's coming to save you in the NFL. That's just the way it goes, you know. So we got to regroup quick and see what we can do.
You've seen some games with Jaden Daniels. What's your overall thought on him?
Yeah, Brian, I've been watching him since LSU. You know, I only live 45 minutes from Baton Rouge, and so watching him play. And when somebody makes SEC defenses look slow, which is what he did last year, it had to make you take notice. And just watch his progression, because as a junior at LSU, he threw the ball okay. I thought there was some consistency issues throwing the football. And as a senior, you just saw him take his game to another level, especially down the field type throws and decision making. But he was so gifted and he moved so well in the pocket. It's like not a strain for him. And so you knew he's going to give people fits in the NFL. And in preparing for the game this past yesterday's game, watching some of the film, it's like you're watching a progression. His running is off the charts, okay? Mm-hmm. But you're watching a progression of him throwing. And the Cincinnati game, I thought he made some great throws, but I thought there was a couple that, you know what, he probably could have thrown that. And that's something that, because he's so talented with his legs, that, in his mind, if it's not wide open or NFL or like college open, I guess you could say, he's going to be smarter with the football. And that's a credit to him. But as he gets more, then you saw later in that Cincinnati game, he made the throw to McLaurin for the touchdown. You know, you just start to see over and over just a little steps. And I'm drawing a blank on who he played. He threw a touchdown pass. Gosh, it was in the back corner, in the back of the end zone by the goalpost. He just set his feet and he let it go early with air. And it's like this game seems slow. It almost seems like it's slow in front of his eyes. And to watch the first play yesterday with a kind of a counter, and he takes it, and he's like just tiptoeing through the forest, just the way he runs. It's just so smooth. He's so fun to watch. But yeah. I've had a close-up look for him the last couple of years and knew one of my buddy's friends is a quarterback at LSU, and they raved about him in the classroom with him. Just a good guy, works his tail off. And I've got a couple of dear friends that work for the Commanders, and we were texting last week, and he said, Jake, he's been a rock star since he first got here. He said, just he's all in, and it's all ball. And listen, that's what you want. You hit a home run, and it certainly looks like Washington has done that.
What did you think yesterday? Speaking with Jake Delhomme, works with the Panthers on the radio, obviously took the Panthers to a Super Bowl where they came up one Adam Vinatieri field goal away from getting a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Raging Cajun would be. Appreciate you making time for us, Jake. As a former quarterback that probably took some big shots along your career, what'd you think of Jake of Jaden when he had to go out? And do you think that's a – I'm not to ask you to speculate specifically on the injury, but just kind of, you know, if you think he didn't come back in because of the state of that game kind of being a blowout, or if there's more to it?
You know, I would think, to be quite honest, and certainly we don't know anything yet, but I would think a lot was due to the factors of the game, to be very honest. I think had it been a little tighter, you might have seen him again. I'm just glad it wasn't a knee. When he first went down, it looked like he just dragged a leg and he went down. I'm like, oh, gosh, please no. But then when they said it was that rib area, and listen, I don't know what it is, but I've had something like that prior to one of my seasons in Carolina. I pulled a rib cartilage. Mm-hmm. In practice, and it felt like I got stabbed. Yeah. And I missed a little – I don't think I missed a few days of practice, whatever it may be. It was just one of those type of situations. Now, I don't know what his is, but certainly, you know, watching him smile on the sideline in the second half, and, yes, he was frustrated when he kind of threw the ball down or his helmet down whenever he was going out of the game. That's the competitor coming out, certainly. But you would like to think that, you know, they caught it early enough, and it did get traumatized more, so to speak. So hopefully he's back out there sooner than later. And if anything, it doesn't look like it's a serious long-term type of injury.
Yeah, for the people that like, he runs, okay, and like you talked about how you make everybody look slow. Everyone wants to say, well, he needs to stop running. But like when you look at it, he was still forming a guy, and he went to go down, and the guy landed on top of him. That's a freak accident. But I would never take away that ability he has to run the football.
Well, I guess not. I mean, that's a gift. I mean, that's the good Lord's gift that he gave him. Yeah, he can throw it, but he can run it. He can see it. I mean, he does a great job. Yes, he's gotten hit a couple of times in college. Ole Miss, he got hit one time. I don't know if he just didn't see the guy. I can vividly remember. But other than that, he does a great job of kind of like getting out of bounds and sliding and taking those hits. I think, Brian, I think you know it well also. Certain guys, they can take hits. They know how to deflect and not take the full blows, you know. But that's a gift. You don't want to take that away. To me, you don't take that away. And he's going to get smarter, and he'll understand, you know, this is 17 games. I mean, this is not college where it's, 12 games and you have four or five cupcakes in there. This is week in and week out. So, you know, he'll do a good job. And he's proven durable. I mean, this guy's played a ton of football from Arizona State and certainly LSU, so he's proven pretty durable.
He for sure has.
Yep.
What did you think, Jake, a guy that in your NFL career undoubtedly has made some visits up to what used to be FedEx Field, is now Northwest Stadium, to kind of what do you think, talking with your friends at Coach or working in the front offices around the league, about this Washington team, the buzz is really, really different now. I'm curious if you kind of noticed that or picked up on it.
Yeah, it's real. You know, all along, you knew the fan base and the pride that area, the D.C. area, has for that football team. And it went on hard times for a while. And Dan Henning was a longtime coach with Joe Gibbs in that era up in Washington. And he was my offensive coordinator in Carolina. And they talked about it. And, you know, it's fun. It's refreshing. I know the NFL is going to love it. Just wait till next year. You know how many Monday night football games and Sunday night games they're going to have the Commanders on next year? It brings excitement back. And you can write that in pen, not pencil. I promise you, you're going to have a lot of night games next year. But, yeah, I think it's great for the league. And I think Dan Quinn what I like the most about it, and I don't know Dan, but we have the same agent, and I'm real close with my agent, and he always talked about Dan, and this was before he took the Washington job, that, you know, he reinvented himself before he got another job. Like, he would, like, find out, okay, I've got to change. I've got to do this. This is where I thought I had a weakness, and it's something like that, and you just see the energy he brings and how the team plays, and they brought those guys in, and then Washington did a great job of signing Frankie Louvu, who is that same person. That's, you want to talk about energy. I mean, just the energy and the passion that he brings, and it fits with a lot of some of those guys he brought from Dallas with him, and where he had other connections, because you build a culture. And if you have a guy who, pardon my French here, but if you have a turd on the football team, but if he's around a bunch of guys that love football and even it's practice habits and things like that, well, that turd will start to turn the other way, because there's only one way to do it. And when you have a bunch of those, you know, you coach, the team coaches itself. The coaches put a plan in place, but the team coaches itself, and it's a standard that gets set.
Totally.
At least the good teams I've ever been on. I mean, it was those teams police themselves, and they're not all these. You hate to use the word, oh, they're such good guys. No. I mean, like, it's there to play. Whether you hang out off the field or not, it doesn't matter. When it's on the field and it's time to play, everybody straps up and does their job.
There you go.
That's what they're building. And
100%.
I mean, Brian and I are there a lot, and you can see it and feel it and hear it. And
well, thanks for letting us know we got a lot of late nights next year.
Well, I promise you. You know it too. Everybody knows it. I can promise you that.
Well, if you use Houston as a guidepost when C.J. Stroud goes off as a rookie, and then this year there's a lot of like excitement and expectations, they had zero primetime games last year. And the Texans this year have already played on Sunday night. They have a Thursday nighter, another Sunday nighter, and a Monday night coming up. For three straight weeks, weeks 9, 10, and 11, they're in primetime.
There you go.
And they're going to be flexed before the season ends again. Right. Exactly.
I think the league sets a max of how many times you can be scheduled in primetime. So some of these top teams, they usually leave a window open so they can flex them late.
Bring them back in there again.
I fear you're very, very right, Jake, and I'm going to be very, very tired. But, dude, seriously, thank you for the time.
Appreciate
this has been great.
Hey, man, anytime. And, you know, I know it doesn't get said much up in that region, but go Raging Cajun.
There you go, baby.
It gets said a lot on this radio show.
good.
Oh, yeah. All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, man. Take care. Have a good day.
Jake DeLome right there.
Il awesome interview.
Very, very good interview.